Warning. The opinions of this show do not reflect any encouragement to partake in tobacco use. We are all aware of the dangers of cigarettes, and the opinions in this show do not reflect any of that of Big Tobacco. They are entirely the opinions of an idiot who chooses to do so on his own behalf.
Smoke if you got 'em.
Light it up.
Because I didn't vote for Bloomberg.
Here's to feeling good all the time.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 2 of Spencer is Smoking. I hope you got through the first episode, and I hope you're joining us for this next one. We have a
big one.
We got a big one today, and we got a full house today in Tony's basement.
Yep.
Great studio audience, and let's get into it. So last week we did our first episode, and you know we had a great discussion of about China. And this week, we have another discussion about another country. But first, Tony, about last week. So after, you know, we finished the podcast.
Yeah.
And we had a good time for the rest of the day. Not smoking. We wouldn't be doing that. We were just eating potato chips and drinking soda till 6 o'clock in the morning here in the basement.
Yeah, watching some movies, maybe.
I went home, and naturally, Jimbo and my mom were up at 6 o'clock in the morning, ripping heaters, drinking coffee. And I told them to listen to the episode that we just did, which my mom said she liked it. She liked the historical, the scripted segment, as we're going to call it now.
Awesome.
But my dad, Jimbo, your good pal,
yeah,
said he wanted to hear a little bit more out of you.
Oh, really?
I think he feels the same way about I do, that you're the smartest man we both know.
Thank you, Jimbo. All right, you got more on this one, I guess.
Yeah, so you're gonna hear all the Tony you could ask for in this one. I hope.
Yeah.
But so today is March 15th, a historical day in the annex of history, the day those nasty Romans killed Julius Caesar, a great guy. If you really want to analyze history, he might have proclaimed himself emperor and, you know, wanted to be a dictator, but he had a bunch of good things to say. But they didn't want that. They said this guy can't have too much. This guy can't have this much power. So they killed him.
Forza Roma.
But today we remember Caesar, not for what he did in Rome, but for the salad that is named after him.
Mm.
And of course, if you actually know the origins of a Caesar salad, it did not...
Please tell me.
It has nothing to do with Rome. It was invented in Tijuana, Mexico, by a Mexican. But nobody will tell you that. They just hear Caesar and they say, Hail Caesar!
I'm pretty sure he was an Italian.
The guy who invented the salad?
Yeah.
No, he was Mexican.
Oh, no. His name was Antonio Caesarelli, and he fucking cooked... No.
His name was Caesar. He was a Mexican named Cesar. But there goes to show you that, you know, another white man taking credit for the work of Mexicans, which is exactly where we get here today and the country we will be talking about today. It is none other than the place that you and I call our home, America. So, friends, Americans, and countrymen, lend me your ears and lungs as we have a lot to discuss today. That, of course, is a ripoff of a line from the William Shakespeare play Julius Caesar,
ooh,
in case you didn't know.
On point.
Now, as we know on this show, we are asking the tough questions, not the easy ones like how do we solve the crisis in the Middle East, but are cigarettes bad? And today, I think we found something that is a lot worse than cigarettes, because it's a little bit of a paradox, because America, for all intents and purposes, invented cigarettes. So we have to ask ourselves...
Is that right?
Yes.
We invented cigarettes.
Yes. So we have to ask ourselves, is America bad?
They weren't smoking before America?
No, my friend.
Pipes?
Let me. Maybe hashish and like some other stuff, but, you know, not tobacco. Because long before Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, the so-called Indians had been cultivating the tobacco plant for thousands of years. They used it for medicinal and religious purposes, And when the Europeans discovered America and got a little taste for themselves, they found out that this shit is wavy as hell.
I wonder how they felt the first time smoking tobacco. You know that little high you get the first time you smoke a cigarette?
A Swiss doctor in 1563 reported that chewing or smoking tobacco produced a wonderful power of producing a kind of peaceful drunkenness. Okay. And just like that, the white man said,
"Well, I can't stop now. I'm addicted. They gotta hold on me."
So the tobacco trade began. And I am, just like you are, what's the word I'm looking for?
Tell me.
How you didn't know that we invented cigarettes.
I did not, no.
I was thinking how, because what, we're talking the 1500s. For the past 1,000 years in Europe, they didn't have tobacco.
That's what I'm thinking. Caesar wasn't smoking tobacco?
Nobody was smoking tobacco in Europe. That's when they were going through the Dark Ages, and now you know why it was called the Dark Ages. Mm. Think about if the Catholic priests had cigarettes for all those thousands of years where they were just persecuting everybody because they were pissed off. Because we know how much the Catholics love smoking. They can't do anything else.
It was Luther who nailed the how to make tobacco on that church.
Yes.
on that church door.
So, the tobacco trade began. The Europeans were hooked. And like any dope fiend, they needed to keep a steady supply coming in on the cheap. As the American colonies started, tobacco became the number one business, and business was booming. Especially since the colonists relied heavily on slave labor to maximize profits and create shareholder value, a tradition unlike any other in our great nation.
Boom.
Gold and silver was scarce in the colonies, so the favored currency of trading? Tobacco.
Hell yeah.
Who would have thought that America has just been one great big prison from the very start? Slinging cigarettes.
Those Brits knew.
The most popular area for growing and cultivating tobacco was in the Chesapeake area in modern-day Virginia and North Carolina, where one of the biggest cigarette companies in the world still is making their cigarettes today. The Philip Morris Company, named after an 1840s London cigarette dealer, is still rolling these bad boys up in Richmond, Virginia, hundreds of years later. I've actually driven by the Philip Morris headquarters in Richmond on my way to North Carolina one time, and personally loved the giant smokestack outside resembling that of a Marlboro Red, which is exactly what we are going to be smoking here today.
Is it the smokestack painted with the...
It is painted like a cigarette.
Oh, interesting.
We will be smoking Marlboro Reds in honor of America. 100s to be exact, so you can savor sweet taste of freedom for a little while longer. So if you don't mind, my good friend, would you light those bad boys up?
Here you go. Now, these are pretty familiar to me.
I think everybody is.
Hundreds, not so familiar. I'm usually the shorter style dude, but, you know. Pause.
you want to cut that out?
No.
All right. So, without further ado, it's time to
light it up.
Okay. Mm. Ugh. Yeah, this is not great.
No, I hate. Ugh.
Ugh. Tell me.
I'm not. I can't lie. I hate Marlboro Reds.
Yeah,
hate smoking these.
These suck.
But
they smell bad. They smell just
like
shitty ash.
Like ass.
Yeah. Well, ass. Okay.
Whatever. Well. Even though I hate them, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, which is exactly what the founders of our nation thought when they fought back against tyranny in the American Revolution. The colonists were getting a bit riled over the fact that they were making so much money for their British overlords while they weren't getting anything in return. Hell, these assholes were across an ocean. Why the fuck did they get to tell me how to live my life? And in response to this, the British decided to tell the colonists exactly how to live their lives. Installing taxes on things like stamps, tea, sugar, paper, and all the stuff people need to live back then that their British overlords supplied them with. In order to pay for these taxes and to stay afloat, these motherfuckers started cranking out cigarettes like you wouldn't believe. But even that wouldn't solve their problems. As the colonists continued to proclaim no taxation without representation and dump tea into the Boston Harbor, the British declared new laws to force colonists to comply and had soldiers just shoot unarmed protesters in the streets. Another American tradition that we carry on today.
And we will still carry on in the streets
kinda
very
like,
soon.
Yeah, it's kind of like how you burn a Tesla today. That's an act of domestic terrorism.
It will start.
But so on July 4th, the Declaration of Independence was signed, saying every American was entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that all men were created equal, unless, of course, you were Black, Asian, Italian, Irish, Latino, Jewish, or, of course, a woman. Oof. And if your last name sounded a little bit ethnic or not Anglo-Saxon at all and ended with a consonant, well then, buddy, you were fucked. Now, warfare
not
back...
Not Caesar.
Well, he was down in Mexico fucking...
Or Brutus, if that matters.
Whipping up salads. Now, warfare back in these days was very rule-oriented. The modern-day Democrats would have loved it. Basically, you were supposed to meet your opponent on the field of battle to army, during the daytime so you both could see, and then both commanders would operate their armies like chess pieces, sending waves of men to shoot their muskets 5 minutes at a time, since it took a very long time to reload guns back then. But some crazy bastard with wooden teeth named George Washington liked to do things a little bit different.
He didn't actually have wooden teeth, did he?
He might have.
Nah. Slave teeth. Just grills.
He was all about hiding in the woods and sneaking up wooden on motherfuckers grills when they weren't suspecting it, or take small groups of other like-minded psychos and sneak into enemy camps at night and kill them in their sleep. Years before, Al Davis would utter the words, "Just win, baby." G-Dubs would embody that shit. After years of fighting in 1781, General Cornwallis would surrender to the Continental Army at Yorktown, and America was finally a free nation of its own.
God bless, man.
But now the hard part began.
Oh.
Oof. Ow. I need to smoke a cigarette.
You know, this doesn't get as bad as you continue to drink the Miller Lite that we have as our
current beer. Or the whiskey.
Yes, there's Maker's Mark and Spencer's Cup, and I have... 2 cans of Miller Lite, very great under 96 calorie Pilsner.
Miller Lite is the best beer on the planet. I'll say it.
American.
Right there. Yeah, America.
Domestic beers.
So now, 6 years later, after the surrender at Yorktown, between May 25th and September 17th, after beating their wives, harassing their slaves, a bunch of cigarette smoking, lager drinking, 20-year-old frat boy delegates from all the states would meet in the city of Brotherly Love for the Constitutional Convention, where they would determine the laws of this newly found nation.
Philadelphia for all our international listeners.
Once they determined those laws, they would sign the Bill of Rights, put it behind a bulletproof glass, and never think about updating it ever again. Even if at times when they said a well-regulated militia should be given the rights to bear arms, so that if tyranny rose up again, they could nip it in the butt, just like these guys did. I mean, how were they supposed to know that in a couple hundred years, the well-regulated militias they would be writing these laws to arm would just be militarized police forces in every major city with budgets that exceeded some nations' GDPs and whose loyalties lies with the exact corrupt governments that it was supposed to be overthrown? Guess that OG tobacco really was some fucking good stuff, because yeah, these guys had no foresight whatsoever.
No tars, huh?
No.
Yeah.
If you told Paul Revere that in 200 years there would be guns that could unload 6,000 rounds per minute, his head might fucking explode. So you better get that guy a Marlboro Red and a Miller Lite to calm his ass down.
Oh yeah, Maker's Mark too.
Well, these brainiacs came up with some decent ideas for their times that surely would not go to be exploited in the future by loser judges and nerd lawyers who spent way too much time with their heads in books instead of motorboating titties and sucking down cigarettes. Fuck. And that was good enough for them. They shook. They said, "We did it." Asked some psycho with wooden teeth if he'd like to be president, and he said no. And then they said, "Come on, please." And he said, "Oh, all right."
Just like that.
And he would be the first to assume the highest political office in the land that would soon be known as the leader of the free world. And after 8 years, he would step down so that one man, not be susceptible to holding on to power for too long at the risk of thinking he may be king. This would be a land for the people, by the people, until 228 years later, some small-cocked orange bigot retard would proclaim himself king.
You know what we're talking about.
So the time-honored tradition of one man stepping down and other man being elected as president began. For a long period of time, each president elected had been born in one of the original 13 colonies. As the country got older, it would also grow in size. Most notably, when Thomas Jefferson would use all the cigarette money to buy a shit ton of land from the French. The namesake of this deal, the Louisiana Purchase, was home to one of the great cities in the New World, New Orleans.
Awesome.
A place founded on French debauchery and one of the few places today where if you know where to go, you can still smoke inside.
Unbelievable.
But then came the first president who was not born in these original colonies, but in a little old place known as Kentucky, home of Maker's Mark Bourbon. And before it was famous for fried chicken and baseball bats, it was also the home of Abraham Lincoln, who was given the impossible task of holding this country together and where I believe all of our modern day problems begin.
How is Kentucky? You've been there before?
Yes, I've been to the Louisville Slugger Factory.
Oh.
Got a bat there.
Cool.
Yep, it was awesome. I got a professional major league bat years ago that was, for all intents and purposes, a properly good bat, but they dipped it in the paint a little bit too much for the guy who wanted it. It was supposed to be like half one color, another half color. And so I got it for $17.
Oh, yeah.
And now I just, you know, keep it behind me.
Speaking of bats, do you remember years ago when we were kids and we'd go to Yankee Stadium that they would have bat day?
You got a bat day?
Full size bat. Everyone gets a full size bat at the stadium. Imagine that happening now.
People. Well, that's why they got rid of it, because everybody was walking around drunk as a skunk in the Bronx with a full size bat and just beating the shit out of each other. Up.
I still have that bat. Imprinted with Derek Jeter's signature.
I actually never got one of those bats.
Oh yeah, it's a black Louisville Slugger with Derek Jeter's signature on it. Pretty cool.
It is. I would love a Derek Jeter bat. But now here, let's continue with our scripted segment of the day on America. At this time, America was still growing up, and so was the world. The Industrial Revolution, which began in Britain around the time of the Revolution, and now that America was on its own, they had to adopt the same New Age ways of becoming an industrialized nation. In the North, America transitioned from its roots of being an agricultural nation. They built factories that produced all the goods they used to rely on from Britain so that the country could become an economical powerhouse of its own. As the economy grew, so did their morality. They started to realize that slave labor they relied on was wrong, and that they should embody the original text of the Declaration of Independence, that all men were created equal, but still not women.
Damn.
Abolitionists argued against the immoral practice of slavery, and by 1804, slavery was ended in the North. But meanwhile, down in the South, they wasn't really getting with the program.
Old Confederate guys.
While the North was focused on the New Age industry, them good old boys liked the traditions their mammies and pappies had been accustomed to, that being grown cotton and, of course, grown tobacco. Now, no honest, respectable white man should be busting his hump working in the fields all day in that hot, humid Southern climate.
Oof.
They ought to be rocking in a chair on a porch enjoying a nice, mighty fine mint julep while them color boys make them their money. They didn't take too kindly to the Yankees trying to tell them how they operate their lives. So slavery was still very much a part of life in the South, south of the Mason-Dixon line. Excuse me. The country was still growing westward, as manifest destiny was achieved by forcing out the indigenous people and Spanish settlers who called the western areas of continental America their home. The argument was that if slavery should exist in these new parts of the country, the Northerners said no because it was wrong, and the Southerners said yes because they're racist inbred rednecks. So the South seceded from the North to create the Confederacy and waged a civil war against the Union of the North.
Shout out the sweet tea, though. I mean, that stuff is delicious. Old school, even that Arizona sweet tea back in the day always hit.
Southern recipe.
Yeah, really good. little cornbread if you're able to.
I mean, that's where they make that's where they're making whiskey.
As we see a Popeyes commercial coming up on the screen.
Now, the Confederacy had the Union in the first half. We can't lie about that. The incomparable General Robert E. Lee, who was a West Point graduate and the most famous Civil Medal Award winner in this country, was fucking the Yankees up in every which way possible. But then came Gettysburg, where the Union was facing complete defeat, but rallied to overcome and send the Southern Army packing. Honest Abe gave his famous speech, the most famous halftime speech of all time, and although a Ulysses S. Grant was probably more drunker than anyone there and heard four whores and seven beers ago, that was all he needed to kick his ass into gear to lead the Union to victory.
They not like us.
The nation was once again united, and peace would become of America, and everyone would get along for the next thousands of years. End of story, the end. That, of course, is not true. With the end of the war came the question, what to do about the Southern rebels who rose up against America so that they could make their racist ideologies law? Many people said they should be hung, executed, imprisoned, stripped of all their rights as humans and Americans. And although Honest Abe was a Republican, he did the most democratic thing possible and argued that they should be forgiven. He believed they should forgive the South and call for the reconciliation, healing, and unity, and by tempering justice with mercy. He believed that a victorious North should not punish a defeated South, and that a righteous peace required healing the rift between the North and the South. It's too bad it wasn't 100 years in the future when the American thing to do to somebody that doesn't agree with your ideologies is to carpet bomb the shit out of them. But also, thank God, because if Abe napalmed the South, we wouldn't have the delicious cigarettes that we're smoking today.
That's right. Oppenheimer was a smoker.
Of course, this didn't work out because the Southerners just remained bitter until, well, today. Since they're still a bunch of racist, cousin-fucking-inbred racists. And not to forget, they're a bunch of white supremacists and evangelical Christian extremists, too. Abe's big brain idea would be short-lived when one of these pieces of shit would shoot him in the back of the head. Not only that, but when they enacted the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery, they snuck in the little loophole that said the only way you could continue the practice of involuntary servitude is if that person was imprisoned, leading to the mass incarceration of black people in the South. The Southern economy was built on not paying their workers. What were they supposed to do? Start paying them? It would crash their entire economy. And just like it was about to do when Teddy Roosevelt, who was a champion for the middle class, union workers, and the relegations of big business that was exploiting people for profits, would try and get rid of that clause some 40 years later. But shortly after, he learned the hard way that the American economy is actually a house of cards and built on prison labor. And that labor is the card on the bottom right. So till this day, that stipulation remains. And a side note, to honor Teddy Roosevelt, who, in case you don't know, he was also in the military before he was president, part of his famous group, the Rough Riders, who went around the Caribbean swinging his big old stick.
Shout out DMX.
Swinging his big old stick and showing all the people in the Caribbean what freedom is all about. One of our members of our studio audience, our good friend Matt, was just in Jamaica and brought back some Worthy Park Jamaican rum.
Ooh.
This has a 63 alcohol percent, which is really fucking hefty. So shout out Teddy Roosevelt and the Caribbean. Because I'm going to rip a shot of this bad boy right now.
Shout out to Ray and Nephew as well. Great rum.
But I'm also going to open a Miller Lite
Stripe
to chase it down with. So here we go.
Okay. Oh my God.
Oh!
Almost dead.
Oh, Bumbaglut! Oh my God! That is fucking strong! Ah,
yeah, that is wicked.
It actually almost makes me want to put the rest of my spiel in the...
A little Sprite, that's a good.
It wants me to put the rest of my spiel into Google Translate, since you can translate into the...
Patois?
Patois now?
into patois.
In America, man, they were fucking shit up, man. Now, with the little tidbit I said about Teddy Roosevelt, which goes to something one of our other studio audience members, Mike Wolf, just reported the other day, is if it's fake news or not. Because as I was doing my research on Google, which can't give you any credible sources nowadays,
never,
I could not find the tidbit of that, but I strongly remember hearing about that whole issue involving Teddy Roosevelt and trying to repeal the 13th Amendment, that clause at least, in like a Ken Burns America documentary years ago. I'm going to stick to it that I believe in it, but just so everybody knows, you know, I'm not a historian, folks. I'm just a guy in a basement smoking cigarettes and drinking whiskey trying to...
Hell yeah.
Trying to, you know, spread some info to people who might not be...
That's why we're here, dude.
Who might not be aware of it, but... a lot of them. Probably 99% of them.
Maybe podcasters do.
Like the guy Joe Rogan had on the other day, who was like, I'm a historian. And the first thing he says, well, Hitler was born in a very small town in Germany, which is not true at all. He was Austrian. Everyone knows he's the original Austrian art school dropout.
Great country, by the way.
Great country. Vienna, great city. Love Vienna.
Definitely visit Vienna.
Yeah. Also, Amadeus, great movie, takes place in Vienna, fantastic movie, shout out Wolfgang Mozart, but yeah, like I said, I'm not trying to spread
you are fake news,
but I'm just trying to let you guys know, but anyway, let's get back, where were we?
Where am I?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm in Tony's basement.
That fake Ray and nephew really fucking hits you, huh?
That shit is crazy. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Stuff. The last tidbit about Teddy Roosevelt. I will tell you what I do know is true is that when he was president, he installed a boxing ring in the White House just for sport. But, you know, just in case anybody who disagreed with him, he'd say, well, why don't you come over to the White House? We'll hop in the ring. We'll discuss it. And he would beat the fucking shit out of them.
Little Ted Tyson action.
But anyway, on top of all this conundrum going on in the South and the 13th Amendment and all the racist shit they were doing, it would lead to the rise of racist groups like the Ku Klux Klan, who are a terrorist organization, and you should be able to shoot them on sight, even though a lot of them are probably in the FBI, which is why, you know, they get away with what they're doing. And even in nowadays, you have organizations like the Patriot Front, who are a bunch of small dick losers who go around marching with shields and masks and all this stupid shit. And they're
Captain America.
Yeah. And they're all probably in the FBI too, which is why, you know, they never get persecuted. But, you know, when you take the oath of office, you say you'll protect America from enemies foreign and domestic. But I guess, you know, when those people work for the government... you just let them protest in peace, of course. Of course, if you're some 20-year-old kid protesting at a college that a foreign nation shouldn't be allowed to donate to every politician in Congress or commit an ongoing genocide, you get tear gassed, deported, and beaten the shit out of.
Jesus.
But I'm getting sidetracked, so we'll get there. So as the Northerners experienced more industrialized growth and prosperity, the Southerners continued to rebuild their communities, keep their bitterness towards the North alive, fly their second-place finisher rebel flag, and make sure everyone remembers that the South will rise again. Post-Civil War would grow into the America we see today, with a great divide amongst its people. While some of the people we elected to office to serve our communities over the years were moral and ethical people who wanted to do some good, those days are all but gone. Now the people who run our country are bought and sold by corporations.
Oh.
Or foreign nations. To do their bidding and create a new ideological civil war amongst the American people. The two-party system, which has proven to be an utter failure by its design, is supposed to cultivate two groups of people with different ideas about how to make our country better. Then they are supposed to meet in the middle. But in actuality, we now see it as it's become like Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck yelling over if it's rabbit season or duck season, with every 8 years, one political party taking power to enact their agenda, only to have the other one come into power and do the exact opposite. And so this vicious cycle continues today. Part of this is because these politicians have no moral compass anymore, and they are just theatrical actors serving their corporate lobbyists, telling their constituents, you should be mad at these people, creating a political climate amongst American citizens that is no different than fucking sports fans, whether you support the Yankees or the Red Sox. Which, of course, this is horrible, as anyone with half a brain and common sense knows that extremism is the worst ideology to have, no matter what the case is.
Yes.
The problem our country faces now are all rooted in this extremism. America was founded as a business to increase the wealth of the British Empire, and capitalism has always been the root of America as we see today. It is a failed system. There was a time when it worked. We touched upon that briefly last episode, if you were listening, and if you're listening to this one, when we were talking about China. And in the 50s and 60s, this country became the greatest economy the world has ever seen. Capitalism made that happen, but also because there were guardrails in place to keep it like that. High marginal taxes on the wealthy, antitrust laws still in effect, which were installed to create healthy competition, a strong middle class created by good wages for workers, and manufacturing that made us the epicenter of the world because we made everything the world needed. Like we said, when the world learned about cigarettes, everybody wanted them, and the only place you could get them was from America. That idea of we're the only ones making it, so you have to get it from us, built this country, along with the ways that stays true with automobiles, steels, technology, all the things we invented that we sold to the rest of the world. Innovation that was the heart of America, and then Chinese Supreme Leader Ronald Reagan began to slowly but surely sell us out. When we became a nation of importers rather than exporters, we got rid of the guardrails that keep everyone afloat in the name of extreme capitalism and big business. And a few people got rich while the majority of Americans suffered.
But cigarettes were still running high.
Yeah, cigarettes are still... Give me one of those, speaking of that.
Okay.
Cigarettes still one of the number one exports of us to the rest of the world. Like we said on last week's episode of Chunghwa Cigarettes, they say Virginia tobacco, which you know where Virginia is, America.
You know the tagline for Marlboro is mild as May, come to where the flavor is, come to Marlboro country. There's no flavor though. I gotta say, there's no flavor in these.
Just
pursue your flavor, you decide.
Ah. But then the talking heads in charge of brainwashing people into thinking it was because of immigrants coming here to take their jobs or because you weren't working hard enough. How can you work hard when these assholes shipped your jobs overseas and then created no new opportunities because it would be bad for business? I recently rewatched Mississippi Burning starring the late, great Gene Hackman, RIP, and the famous quote from that movie where he's telling a story about his racist dad who killed his black neighbor's horse because it made him feel like the black guy was better than him is, my old man was so full of hate, he didn't know that it was being poor that was killing him. That's at the core of what our country is going through today. They'll tell you on the news that our economy is the strongest it's ever been. Look at the numbers in the stock market. But ordinary Americans can't afford to own stocks because they're too busy using the money they can get a hold of to keep themselves from being poor. Fewer and fewer good-paying jobs exist because we've shipped them overseas, and the good jobs there are don't pay enough to combat the rapid inflation of the five companies that own basically everything in America, determining the price of all the shit they sell. Just like how getting rid of the gold standard in the 70s allowed our country to decide how much a dollar is worth, while we see the effects of extreme capitalism in real time destroying our country, they tell you it's a different extremism you should be worried about. For the longest time, it was communism, and our enemy was the Soviet Union. That was a nation built on extreme communism that doesn't work. Yeah. But when we talked about China, and I'll also say, if you listen to the last episode, I'm not telling you China is a good country, because like freedom does not exist there either. You can't oppose anything. You just got to do what you're told. But, you know, like we've saw examining China, there are a lot of great things that the Chinese government has used money to spend on to make China what it is. Once they got past their hump of extremism and settled to the nation that they are, they're running laps around us in technology and innovations and infrastructure. We're the country that invented the fucking railroads, and it'll take you 2 weeks on train to get as far as a Chinese train can take you in like a couple of hours.
Let's get those fast trains going.
We need them. We need high-speed rail in this country. Why don't we get it? Because the airline lobbyists pay a shit ton of money to every politician every year to kill high-speed rail legislature.
Enough with that the could, gun that bullets. Start with the train bullets.
That could transform our country. And not enough people are directing their hate and discontent towards these politicians and our government for shortchanging us with the crappy, decaying landscape of our country because they're too busy hating on China and telling us that's what we need to hate. Because that's what their dumb, orange, fat, retard cult leader tells them to do.
Fuck yeah.
And like brainwashed idiots, they listened. It doesn't matter if he's a fraud who's bankrupted everything he touches. He just lies and tells them the bullshit they want to hear because they've been told for generations from their mammies and their pappies that the South will rise again.
Keep it in the keys.
And I'm sorry for being the one to tell it like it is, but it fucking isn't. Then you have these other moronic bootlicking dickheads who are whores for capitalism because all they want to do is make money. Money, 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 money.
Money.
The materialistic consumerism that comes with capitalism tells you that to achieve a high quality of life, you need to make money so you can afford all this high-priced bullshit. You get the people saying our government is inefficient. It needs to be ran like a business. Then they want to slash Medicare and Social Security.
No more.
Do they even know, like, what happens when you work for a business for an extended period of time? You get health benefits and a pension, even if the amount of businesses offering pensions nowadays has gone down from, like, 75% of companies 50 years ago to like 14% nowadays. There's still some of union jobs are still offering it. Go union, brothers. You'll get a pension. You'll get your retirement benefit.
Teamsters.
But yeah, like they want it to be ran like a business without the benefits that you get from working at a business when you retire. And that's what this extremism cultivates. Thinking that the goal of society is to make money. It's not. It's to provide for the people living in society so that it can continue. The beauty of what was America is that it existed with the individual freedoms of thoughts and ideas and the freedoms to pursue what you wanted to do and not have some communist schlub at some office telling you that you're going to go work in the mines for 40 years for the greater good of the motherland, Mother Russia. But we've lost that, and in some ways, we're too far gone to get it back because, and this will sound like a crazy fucking thing that I'm about to say to, you know, some of my fellow liberals that are in this basement right now. But the tariffs, fucking idiot's idea on the tariffs is not a bad idea. But it's 50 years too fucking late. Because if you're going to be a country that wants business in America, you should have never gone away from that. And deciding that 50 years after you've gotten rid of every fucking job there is in this country, that you're just going to make it harder on people to get the shit that they need. You're just going to stretch their wallets out a little further. It's fucking stupid. And this is all in the name of letting these greedy rich fucks that control all these industries get even richer and hoard all their money because they get hard-ons when they look at their bank accounts and see all the zeros in it. The only hope we had was 8 years ago when the only honest politician in this country today, Bernie Sanders, was running on a platform to put the guardrails back in place to get back to the roots of how America as a society works.
Not a smoker.
But everybody got too fucking scared at hearing the word socialism from their grandpas and who were able to buy 5-bedroom houses for peanuts, working as mechanics to put 8 years through college because of the socialistic policies that Franklin Delano Roosevelt put in place in the 40s to make sure some bullshit like the Great Depression didn't happen again. Then guess what happened? These retarded Republicans started getting rid of those regulations in the 70s and the 80s, and it happened again. Black Monday in the 80s, the financial crisis of the 2007, the housing collapse, and now every fucking expert is telling us it's going to happen again soon. But do we punish the politicians and businessmen who are responsible for us suffering? No. We bail them out with our tax dollars because they're too big to fail, and other countries don't. They fine them. They imprison them. Hell, we mention on China that they fucking killed them.
Hell yeah, brother.
But we don't, because we're Americans. Where business must prevail, and if everyone else suffers, that's okay. Where one side of the aisle tells us that one side of the other aisle hates you and wants you to suffer, and that is true, but then you watch those same people who call themselves the good guys sabotage the campaign of somebody like Bernie Sanders because his way of putting America back on track would hurt the pockets of the corporate donors because all these scumbag politicians, whether they're playing for the Yankees or the Red Sox, are getting paid by the same fucking people.
Dirty. Dirty, dirty, dirty.
Remember when the American revolutionaries proclaimed no taxation without representation? Doesn't that sound exactly like what we're going through today? We're being sucked dry in every which way. Republicans cut the taxes for the rich who can afford it while the middle class pays more. During this period of the 50s and 60s I always talk about, you know how many tax brackets there were back then?
Do not. Tell me.
24. Each bracket going up about 1% to 3% as you go up in how much money people make. You know how many tax brackets there are today?
Tell me.
7. 25% of someone making $100,000 a year is $25,000. And 35% of someone making $400,000 a year is $140,000.
That's hella math, dog.
Which is what the tax bracket's now today. And the difference between how much left for these two people is drastically fucking different, considering the guy making $100,000 a year might get a 3% wage increase over the next 5 years, and when inflation makes the price of everything he needs to go on with his life 10% more, and he's going to be playing catch-up for the rest of his life, and the guy who just got hit with a $140,000 tax bill still has $260,000.
And you still got to afford cigarettes.
Yeah, well, they both need cigarettes, poor and the rich alike.
Yes.
Now, the blue check talking head crypto, small cock bros on Twitter, will tell you that broke guys making $100,000, which used to be a pretty good standard of living, need to work harder. But have these people ever considered that maybe there are some people who don't want to have 3 fucking jobs? They just want to enjoy life. They don't want to own property. They don't want to be members of society who wake up They just want to be members of society who wake up every morning, go to work, come home, and enjoy their life with all this other bullshit that everybody is trying to force down their throat.
Go union.
Isn't that what's in their right of Americans? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Too bad that doesn't exist anymore in this country, because it's turned into the very thing it was supposed to destroy. And a second revolution is completely out of the cards, because any discussion among any like-minded actual patriot would like to see this country return to its former glory by the people, for the people, would probably ended up by the NSA reading your text messages and sending the FBI task force to raid your house. Even if there ever was any successful coordinated effort by people to challenge the authoritarian government that is in place today, we'll be met with a small army of police beating the ever-living shit out of you, and God forbid you have a weapon on you, as is your right in the Second Amendment, because the Founding Fathers wanting the people to be able to challenge the government just like they did. They might send in a fighter jet to bomb your neighborhood just like they did in Philadelphia in the 80s. You know that?
No,
know
I didn't.
Know about that?
Yeah. Don't know anything.
Yeah, they fucking... I thought you're the smartest guy I know.
Best drinker, you know.
In the 80s, they just fucking bombed a neighborhood that was getting a little too rowdy. Then maybe they'll have the new Navy destroyer weapon that they've just created, equipped with a Death Star laser, blast your ass to smithereens from 3,000 miles away while you're taking a fucking shit. But nobody would even try and organize against them in the first place, because it's not the government that's our problem. Because they tell us it's mass illegal immigrants that are a problem, who are sneaking into our country to steal our jobs. Because Ronald Reagan went to war with drugs in the 80s and destabilized the entire South American region, which is why they're all coming here today. And it's not capitalism that's ruining your life. It's terrorism. 4,000 miles away, they want you to suffer because Dick Cheney wanted his boys at Halliburton to get a big payday. So they went to war with Iraq illegally and destroyed the entire Middle East for 20 years just so they can get some fucking oil.
Who's cooking?
I'm cooking. But like I said, it might be too far gone. And why even stress about it anymore, folks? Instead, just light up a nice Marlboro cigarette and enjoy the peaceful drunkenness that our founding fathers intended for this country. All right.
There you go.
Stephen A. Smith couldn't
do
that. No. You don't think he could?
No.
What would Stephen A. be saying at this point right now?
We won't say that loud.
Yeah, that is true.
Stephen A.
We don't want Bryce hearing about this. We don't want Bronny or Bryce or
Stephen A. Please come on the show.
Yeah, we're excited. When is his debate going down?
Oh yeah. Oh, who's he debating again in Westbury?
Long Island. With Chris Cuomo and
Chris Cuomo.
O'Reilly.
O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly.
Right, Bill O'Reilly.
Wait, was it O'Reilly or was it?
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly, Cuomo, and what a crew, huh? Three of.
Tickets? 500 or
500, dude.
Worth it. Yeah.
Did you see the? I mean, I don't know what the.
I would love to go.
Live podcast at the fucking and.
In the parking lot.
Yeah.
I saw the situation of the seating over there. It's just like it's almost like you're going to a bull ring in Mexico. They're all surrounding the whole thing.
Westbury.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Westbury.
All right. Well, that concluded the scripted segment for today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. If you want to fact check it, just listen to Mike Wolff's complimentary podcast that he's about to start.
Yeah.
Fact checking everything that I say.
Yeah.
But,
we won't smoke cigarettes on the pod, though. So,
but we do have a full studio audience. We do have a full studio audience here today. So, is there anybody? Is there any questions we got from anybody? Anybody on comments, questions, concerns? Nothing.
I think you nailed it.
Nothing. You think I nailed it?
Yeah.
I hope so. I'm just trying to
find out a conversation now. That was it.
Yeah.
No. Now we have the conversation. Now we talk about stuff. This is the new. This is the new outline of the show, contrary to...
Smoking with Spencer.
Contrary to that first experimental episode that we had, which was... It had some good pieces, but, you know, also
I think,
a little bit
I think
of a
this
disaster.
Is where we're going to have to get the good pieces in. So if we're gonna like, start...
You don't think anything I said was a good piece?
No, I think it is. I think it was a very good piece. I just think we went on really long about history. I think we need to...
People need to know history.
Yeah.
That's how you stop this shit from happening again. Today's the day they killed Julius Caesar because he declared himself too powerful.
No,
because
he made a fucking salad in Mexico. That's why.
It's the same shit they're doing today with fucking Elon. We got an unelected fucking illegal immigrant moron dictating how our government operates today. And nobody's doing anything about him.
White, though.
Yeah. Is he?
Yes, he's white.
I mean, people are actually up in arms about it, trying to destroy Teslas. But as we've seen our country go further into authoritarianism that it's already going into, now you got Trump telling everybody that if you burn a Tesla or fucking do any vandalism to a Tesla, it's considered domestic terrorism.
Yeah.
How's that for you?
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Mons?
Well,
smartest guy I know.
I don't know. They should burn the whole fucking thing down.
What'd you say, Mike?
By definition, it kind of is.
Yeah, but it's also protest. Isn't that what this country was built on, as I've just been saying for the past 30?
I want a Tesla and someone lit it on fire because they hated Elon. I'd be fucking pissed.
Yeah, that's true.
Why would you buy a Tesla in the first place? It's a fucking horrible car.
It's an electric car. What if I was a fucking,
environmental...
Buy a Ford EV. America. American. By America.
Are Teslas not made in America?
Yeah, they are.
Are they made in South Africa? Engines, South Africa.
I don't know.
You do a bit about how Republicans hate electric cars and now they have to love them.
I mean, that's just them bootlicking as they always do.
Well, what about Americans smoking electric cigarettes then?
Hey, they're bad for you.
They come from China.
The vapes? Are
they? All of them?
Of course the vapes come from China. Where else would they come
from? So why haven't we gotten onto that game?
I don't smoke vapes. I know you like vapes.
I like vapes when I'm fucked up. I do.
I hate vapes. I hate vapes.
You're about to love.
When I snort a lot of Wise potato chips, that's when I like to smoke vapes. Yeah, yeah.
I hate vapes all the time. But.
Nah.
All right, well, we just finished our history lesson. Let's open the floor to discussion for some other things that's been currently going on in America, as we were talking about. We have a 2% tariff being enacted by Trump on wine and champagne. 200%. Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, you said two.
I said two?
You said 2%.
I said 200. I read 200.
You did say two. Oh,
two. All right.
You did say two, but he meant 200. We get
I meant 200.
We get it. We get it.
Then I'll ask some of the wine snobs in the studio today. How do you guys feel about that?
I'll just go to Italy and buy the rest of my wine.
You're gonna start just drinking beer and whiskey like
import export. It's called. And
start drinking beer like your founding fathers intended you under.
Or just make my own.
You could.
I'll just make my own. There's enough room in this.
You got a bathtub.
There's enough room.
That's what you can turn that closet into. Finally,
there's enough room in the studio to make my own.
You
wine.
Finally got a use for that closet.
Yeah. No, I'll put some. I'll put maybe a wooden barrel in the corner over there. Start stepping on grapes. Make my own wine. I used to make my own limoncello.
Okay. I've had your lemon. Yeah, I've had your limoncello.
How'd you like it? Good.
Very good. Very good. The lime, you made the
limoncello, orange cello.
The limoncello was really good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I should start doing that again. Actually, I'd start selling it with
then,
a cigarette.
Then let me all ask, what's everybody think about our favorite party, the Democrats, led by Chuck Schumer? Matt, what do you think about Chuck Schumer these days?
Pussy.
Very pussy. Now a Palestinian, though, so...
Yeah, he's apparently a Palestinian, according to Trump, even though he's about to go on a tour for his new book talking about anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's the opposition party we have in America now. It's not a bunch of psychos like George Washington protesting tyranny. It's a bunch of fucking stuck-up old geriatric morons saying that they're, you know, they want to avoid a government shutdown. Because it'd be bad for everybody else.
Well, I just can't wait till it starts, instead of becoming just a MAGA red hat, instead everyone just starts spray painting themselves fucking orange. That will be...
They already beginning. Are.
Yeah.
You know what I think about...
Chuck Schumer is going to be orange in any
You know moment. What? How stupid has the MAGA hat become? Remember when it first came out and it was like... I know, I did have
you
one.
You did have one.
It was a hot hat.
It was a hot hat.
The first one, the white one, the first one.
I got the
flip. I think it's made every red hat.
I want to see this country be great again. But that was also before he actually started opening his mouth.
I think any red hat that's not a sports hat has become like kind of iffy to wear, especially around.
Just to be clear, I had the white one with the rope. It was not a bad hat.
Let's see this picture. The white with the... Oh, yeah.
I forgot you wore it.
Yeah. In Albany, when we went back.
I saw it was on 4th Avenue in his trunk.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's...
That was in Albany, that picture.
But that was...
No, I'm saying it was at
Larkfest.
Larkfest. But that was...
Shout out you, Albany, alma mater. Yeah.
That was pre-Trump, like, being Donald Trump. I bought that hat strictly off of a design perspective because it was a nice-looking hat. Now they look fucking so stupid. The red hat with, like, the... Once it became clear that, like, he was a piece of shit, I gave it to my grandpa because, you know, he loved Donald Trump. So I said, fuck it, take it.
Hell yeah.
But I'm talking about the MAGA hats now that they were all wearing during State of the Union address with like the giant lettering that like takes up the whole size of the hat while they were just like chanting USA like they're at like a
Where are they constantly
SEC
rocking
football.
MAGA hats?
Everywhere.
In Long Island, they're rocking them, Mike? No.
South Jersey.
Where?
And he was wearing a Trump 45 jersey.
Trump 45 jersey?
I mean, I was just in... I was just
say USA on the front? MAGA on the front?
I was just in South Jersey.
Of course it's got to be a Jordan number, like a 45.
I was just in South Jersey. They had fucking Trump flags everywhere.
South Jersey? Oh, yeah. I remember going mid-Jersey.
Yeah, fucking insane.
There is a guy in Rockaway. There is a guy in Rockaway with the Jeep Wrangler who's got like the 50 flags. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There's a guy, he's got 50 flags on the back of his car just parked there all the time. Never seen it being driven, but it's all over the
shit,
place.
Shit is so stupid. It's a fucking cult.
Yeah.
And these people are fucking morons. Excuse me, they're not morons. They're fucking retards.
I would love to know the percentage of smokers of Trump supporters and non-Trump supporters. Who's smoking the most? Which guys? Zinn. There's Zinn guys, the Trump guys?
Yeah, all the SEC burner accounts on Twitter love Zinn.
Oh my god.
Do they?
Fucking love it. Yeah, it's so annoying.
When did Zinn come about? That must have been like a I've never done one either.
Maybe we'll do
They've
one.
They've got to be addicting, no?
Maybe we'll do one on a podcast.
Are they addicting?
No.
It is nicotine, yeah?
Everybody,
as opposed to, like, what else would the rest of them be?
Everybody in the audience says, no, we're going to strictly stay to smoking cigarettes. No Zinn.
It's just nicotine? The other ones are tobacco?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like a jewel of...
The jewel of... So it's just like chewing... It's just chewing tobacco, not... Oh, okay. Oh, all right. You can swallow it?
It's like dipping, but it's like the pouches. Like, you remember, you ever do a pouch?
Yeah. I hate those. Yeah. Those get you fucked up.
You used to do that in Xavier.
They mess you up? Like,
take a shit, do a fucking pack of lip. That shit was awesome.
Do you get high headed?
Yeah,
lightheaded. Excuse me, lightheaded.
You get lightheaded. Fucks you up a little bit.
No, never done those before.
Huh?
What were the ones?
Yeah.
What were the menthol ones called back in the day? That everyone was fucking with. I can't remember.
Skoll.
Skoll? No, I can't remember.
I mean, Skoll used to have the long cut, but fuck that shit. That shit is gross. I thought our friends Chris Petrie and Ken McFeely would be here in the audience.
Yeah.
We'll meet them later. I was once at a Penn State party with Cam, and we were packing lips. And I remember I packed one. I was drunk as a motherfucker, and I packed one in and just threw up. And
so did I. I think that's the case for everyone who does it for the first time. Sweet 16.
That shit is disgusting. Yeah. No more dipping.
My boy was packing at a Sweet 16 last year.
No more dipping. Just stick to cigarettes, folks. But,
yeah.
I guess we'll wrap it up here for this week. I hope everybody enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week with another episode. I think we're going to continue exploring America, if my memory serves me correct on the outline I've had for all of our episodes. But hope everybody learned something. Smoke them if you got them.
Philip Morris.
If you don't, and even if you don't smoke...